Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 19th of June, recording at 9:41 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, let's have a quick look at what happened, some of the action here, in today's interesting day. Okay, starting off with Asia-Pacific, Japan was the star performer here, with the Nikkei up 1.83%, but the ASX 200, that's Australia's main index, that was up nearly 1%. And elsewhere, Asia was mostly a bit softer. Here are the exceptions. We had a very modest gain in India, almost too small to mention. Thailand, a little bit better, up 0.72%. And Vietnam was up nearly 1%, but more pressure to the downside. And it was, of course, a decent day on Wall Street yesterday. And these markets really did not respond, except for Japan, which is a separate story and likely to remain so. More on that in a moment. Now, going back to Europe, small declines across the boards. The biggest looks like Spain, down 1%. No, it's Sweden, down 1.6%. The one exception scoring a gain is the Swiss SMI, which of course is not part of the EU, but that was up just under 0.5%. But the bigger drama occurred in the Americas. Now, let's take Wall Street first. Wall Street's had a couple of quite good days, almost walking on water given what's been happening elsewhere. And if ever this was a case of buy the story, sell the news, it was the Fed's meeting and what was going on with Bernanke and so on. Well, the Fed came out with a solid and optimistic forecast, generally. We have seen a number of those, and so that was no great surprise. But Wall Street then started to slip a little bit, and then it churned some quite choppy action within a range, a little bit of schizoid action, and then it weakened, and it weakened right through to the close. Not huge losses, but down nearly 1.4% for the S&P, 1.35% for the Dow, 1.12% for the NASDAQ. And my interpretation on all of that, well, as I said, better to travel than to arrive in markets sometimes. And I think that the uncertainty over QE and the uncertainty over Bernanke going and what that's going to mean, and will Janet Yellen, who would be his preferred choice to follow him, and the rather terse way that Obama appears to be dealing with the Bernanke situation, all creating a little bit of anxiety in here. And I think that may well continue for more reasons that you will hear in a moment. But across the rest of the Americas, Canada down 0.8%. Mexico down just over 1%. Brazil's in trouble. This is just a big whopping another 3.18% decline here overall. You got riots in the streets and people protesting. All the big money being spent on these sporting events, and people are poor and protesting. That's a new low for the year for Brazil, down to 47,893. Now, over in government bond markets, Oh my goodness. Well, this is carrying on after hours. The Fed long bond is down over 2 points. The 10-year is down 122. I'm just going to put up the chart if I can remember. USGG10YR. Forgive me for coding the code out loud here. But I wanted to see this index, see what this is up to. Well, you've got a big upward spike on this US 10-year yield, and that has taken the yield. It's currently trading, it's still trading, but it's currently trading at 2.349, so nearly 2.35 here, and that's a big move in here today. That is a new high for the year. And well, I've said it for a while now. It looks like base formation development, and it's not all that far off being completed base formation development. In other words, breaking up out of a out of an overall base formation. Now, other bond markets are not doing quite so much to the upside. Owens reviewed a number of them, and there certainly have been gains for the vast majority of them. I think on, don't hold me to this, but I think only India was an exception with yields going a little bit lower. This is eyebrow-raising stuff here, and I don't think, I mean, I think it's alarming for people who are holding on to positions in that market. And I've said for quite some time now that, this was a slow motion end of a massive secular bull market over 31 years. Slow motion end being that it was going to take a while for all this to bottom out in terms of those bond yields, top out in terms of the bond prices. But that what did people think would happen eventually after a 30-year plus bull market move, and especially when a lot of these yields that are down on the floor are so because of all the quantitative easing that has actually been taking place. So I think this is a scary area. I wouldn't have any bonds, but if you insist, they would have to be bonds in countries which have a good fiscal discipline. And but I'm again, I've already said it. I wouldn't have any of them. Now, what else to mention here? There's a lot. As Wall Street weakened, the U.S. dollar firmed here quite a bit. The U.S. dollar index, it's up to 81.29. But to put that in perspective, I'm just going to bring that chart up. That had fallen sharply, really since late May, when it had been up over, been up to 84.5. And so, good rally today, but at 81.28, it's still very much in the middle of its overall trading range. And I don't think we're going to have many severe or significant currency moves, certainly not among the major currencies, with one exception, and that's the Japanese yen. Now, that's declined rather. The dollars, US dollars pushed it up against it. So we're up to 96.38 yen to the US dollar. That's up over a yen in here today. And now that I would ordinarily regard that as being reasonably positive for the Japanese stock market, but for the Japanese stock market to gain tomorrow, and it's had a couple of good days in here at least, but for it to go up again, it would have to shrug off the sell-off that we've seen on Wall Street. Now, what I've said on a number of occasions in these audios is that I do think that Japan is by far the most interesting of the major stock markets. I think that will remain the case here for the medium term, and it is recovering following that big shakeout. But again, remember, even after the shakeout, it was still up over 20% on the year. And we're talking about a move that began back in November of last year. So I think it's really interesting overall, but we are in a choppy time, choppy period here for stock markets generally, and that's going to keep the majority of stock markets. Well, I think a fair number of them are not going to test their highs anytime soon, and they may well go lower. Before we establish lows within just a sort of a general ranging environment overall. That's hardly a disaster here. We can move around cautiously, but as I said yesterday, don't pay up for anything here. I like Japan at this level because of the previous setback that we had actually seen, and Owens pointed out a number of autonomies that have come back to their 200-day moving averages. As long as those patterns are remaining reasonably consistent, I think those are interesting companies still. Okay, what else is going on in here today? Now, the industrial metals were mixed, and we did not have another rise in crude oil here today, which is a little bit of a relief, but I'd like to see several dollars to the downside to be out of or be get you know to have a little bit of buffer in here. The last thing we want to see is an oil spike, that's for sure, in terms of the global economic outlook. Now, precious metals, they've been soft in here. And that certainly continued today. What stands out is that palladium, which had been really defying the move to the downside led by gold and silver, but palladium's been given up a lot of ground in the last few weeks, and it's back down to below 700. It's down to 694. That's down nearly $14 here today. And platinum, which has outperformed gold, but I don't know how long it's going to go on doing that. Platinum's down near the bottom side of its range. It was down 25 today, down to 1414. Now, this needs an upward dynamic here to hold this range, but overall, the pattern still looks somewhat top-heavy. Silver has taken quite a beating, and it bounced from that 20 level. What was that, the beginning of the month or last month? But here we are, 21.33. That's down 34 cents today, and still looking soft. Gold down 16 to 13.51. Now, I think that I've said in a number of these audios that my hunch, and it can't be more than a hunch, but I'll repeat it, that my hunch is that the secular bull market is not over, and it's not hard to understand why that might be the case. Yes, gold went up a lot, but look at all the quantitative easing that's taken place, the weakness of currencies, and so on. Now, that's certainly a factor, although inflation, according to the statistics at any rate, is not a problem here today. Though I think people find that their purchasing power is declining. So what I'm saying is, I don't think what we the inflation that we see reported, I don't think I don't ever feel that it's an accurate gauge of the gradual undermining of our currencies that we experience. And I think that long-term conservative investors, I know they're still putting pushing into gold, but a lot of those ETF traders, short to medium term momentum traders in gold, they continue to come out. And until that total return ETF breaks its downward bias, I think there's still some risks to the downside. Now, I said not long ago, I thought maybe it was, what, 10% of the downside for gold, but at least 30% or more to the upside over the medium to longer term. I'll stick with that overall, but these are still looking vulnerable to a bit further easing. And on that note, folks, I don't want to run on too long, so all the very best to all of you at the end of this interesting day.